Mark chapter 4, we're moving on with the miracles of Jesus. And we come to what has in the past been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There are found throughout God's Word, all throughout God's Word, many different occasions where there are storms in the lives of God's children. And so I think that is why this passage just moves me. But God knows that His people go through storms in life. And so really any given Sunday of the year, any given Wednesday night of the year, any given day of the week, we could bring a message on the storms of life. And we would be very accurate in bringing it to someone who's going through a storm. Now, those in Florida, they're going through a literal storm, a hurricane. And sometimes it's not a literal storm we're going through, though. Sometimes it is a spiritual storm or a spiritual battle. But one of the things we find out in this text that we're going to read tonight is this. We find out that the devil has the ability to bring storms into our lives. Now, we got to think about this. We've got to realize this. Sometimes things happen in our life, and we try to see things. We try to see things just on one plane, and that is just in the world in which we live. And we try to rationalize, or we try to explain, or we try to come up with answers as to why things happen the way they are happening. But we've always got to throw that spiritual element in there, and we got to figure out what's the bigger picture besides just what's going on here and now. What's the bigger picture? And the bigger picture is this, is that we're in this battle. And so oftentimes we have had unseen foes that come against us in this battle that we are in as believers of Jesus Christ. And so all throughout God's Word, we find that God's people endure storms. We see, I think about the Job storm. There was literally a storm that took everything that Job had, or his most cherished possessions, I should say. And we know the enemy created that storm. Yes, God allowed it. God didn't create it, but He allowed it by His permissive will, because He was going to try Job and prove that he would come forth as gold. And so we see all throughout God's Word storms that believers encounter. The storm tonight particularly, I'll show you toward the end of the text, but this storm tonight particularly is a devilish storm. A devilish storm. It's created by Satan himself. Now, let's read the text tonight, and then we'll talk a little bit about storms. Chapter 4, verse 35 in the book of Mark. "In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." And I'm sure I have preached this at this church probably, and maybe many others have. And many, many preachers in history have pointed out this verse, but you do need to underline the red writing in verse 35 where the Lord says, "Come on, let's get in the boat and let us pass over unto the other side." So mark that down, underline that, highlight that. Let us pass over unto the other side. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so we read in this text the occasion, the setting for what's taking place on the Sea of Galilee. And so the Bible teaches us some things here that we need to remember as we face storms in life, and not just storms because of circumstances, but storms the enemy brings into our life. He is interested in disrupting the life of a believer. He's interested in destroying the life of a believer. The enemy is also interested in detouring the life of the believer. He wants to take you on a detour away from God's will or out of God's will. He wants to destroy you. He wants to disrupt your walk with God. So this is all part of the plan of the enemy, and the enemy does that by bringing storms into our life. Now notice the storm of these disciples. This storm was a storm of some magnitude because these were seasoned veteran fishermen, sailors, if you will, because to fish out on the sea, not only did they have to be fishermen, but they had to be seasoned sailors on the sea. And so these men were seasoned sailors on the sea. Now watch this and keep in mind. So for seasoned veteran fishermen, who had skills and knowledge to deal with the storms on the Sea of Galilee. This text here shows us that they have now encountered a storm like they must have never encountered because now they are fearing for their life. The Sea of Galilee is known for storms. It's the surrounding mountains all around the Sea of Galilee. The wind begins to, drafts come from off the mountain, cold drafts come from off the mountains, and it funnels and channels itself down along those ridges and valleys. And then that cold air from the mountaintops, it hits that warm air on the Sea of Galilee, and it creates violent storms. But this storm had the disciples shook up to their very core. In fact, they thought they were going to die. That's why they wake Jesus up and they say, by the way, it's the only recorded place in Scripture as well where we read about our Lord sleeping. And so we see him in this ship sleeping, the only place in Scripture that it's mentioned. But they wake him up and they say this, Master, and in Luke says that they said it twice, Master, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? And so here are men who's supposed to be calm at the helm whenever a storm arises because they've been through many storms, dozens if not hundreds. But on this particular storm, it's such a big storm that Satan has created that they feel like they're about to die, and so they run and wake the Master. But I want you to notice the Bible says this, that there was a great storm of wind and then the waves beat into the ship. So let's talk about the waves for a minute. So the waves are the things that you can see. There's things we can see in our life whenever we know that Satan has brought a storm into our life. There's things we can see. There's people doing stuff. There's people saying stuff. There's circumstances that we can lay our eyes on and we can see, yeah, that's part of the storm. That individual is part of the storm. That's the things that are seen. That's the waves. But there was the wind. Now listen. The wind is, we'll just say, the wind is the unseen. And so we have to remember that for everything we see around us, that there is this unseen world that surrounds us. And what I'm speaking of is that spiritual realm. I'm speaking of God's holy angels that surround us and keep us day to day in the ways of the Lord, if we're walking in the ways of the Lord. And then there's the demonic realm that is around us. I was just looking a moment ago at a picture I have in my office. And what it is, it's a picture of a preacher standing behind a pulpit, a very traditional pulpit. And he looks like a traditional preacher, and he's standing behind that pulpit and he's preaching. But all around him, standing behind him, there's these angels and even saints from the past that surround him while he stands and preaches God's word. And so we've got to remember that for everything we see that Satan's using to bring a storm into our life, there's even that much more unseen that surrounds us that Satan does and Satan is using to come against us. And so you'll also notice in that text, the Bible says that the waves beat against the ship so much that it was full. Now, the interesting thing about a ship or a boat, if you will, is that boat won't sink until it gets full of water, or at least mostly full of water. And so it is with the believer that is enduring a storm that has been sent by Satan himself. That believer can take a hit and take another hit and take another hit and take another hit. The circumstance of that storm can be so intense, you feel like you're being battered on every side. But what happens is eventually enough is enough. Everybody can stand to take one little punch or one hit, but when you take another and then another and then another and then another, pretty soon you start to get full on the inside, and that's where you come in danger of sinking. And so what the disciples did, here's what I'm certain they did. Because Jesus talked about how they had no faith, and by the time they go wake Jesus up, they're now frantic and they say, "We're about to die. Don't you care that we're about to die? Wake up, get up, do something." So that tells me this. I don't believe that they sat there twiddling their thumbs while the ship was being torn apart, while the waves were crashing over and the ship or the boat was filling up. I don't believe they pulled out their deck of cards and started playing gin rummy before they went and woke up Jesus. But what I think is that as this storm began to brew and get bigger and bigger, I think they put forth every possible human effort to save themselves and to save that ship. I believe they probably set the sails or took the sails down, whatever you do when you're a sailor. I didn't do that. So I don't have a clue. I believe they probably turned that boat or that ship into the wind so they could face those oncoming waves. I believe somebody probably started pitching water, trying to get the water that was coming in back out. So everything they could think of to do, they did it to try to save themselves. And boy, that's what you and I do, isn't it? Man, I mean, Satan brings a storm into our life. The enemy's beating us up one side and down the other. We're filling up on the inside from the beating that we're taking. We begin to eventually feel like we're drowning and we can't ever even get our head up above water. And we do everything we know how to do to try to resolve the issue and resolve the situation. But I don't know, experience should be the teacher on this, but oftentimes you and I are slow to learn. That's the way the children of Israel were in the desert. They're slow to learn. And so experience should teach us, and we should know that the first thing we need to do when a storm comes up of that magnitude is that we should run to the Master first and let our cries awaken the Master instead of trying all human possibilities and all human thoughts and thinking on how to resolve this before we go to Jesus. Because the best that we can do when we're facing Satan himself is going to be failure at best. A man told me one time, he said, "I've learned that Satan is very powerful and he's more powerful than me." And you need to learn that and write that down, that Satan is very powerful and he's more powerful than you. And he's more powerful than me and he's more powerful than us if we stand beside each other. But then the man went on to say, "But here's the thing, he's not more powerful than the God I serve." And then you can write that down and trust in that. And so the disciples, they expended all human effort. They're in this huge storm. And so they're doing everything they can do to hold it together, to keep it from sinking, and to keep their head above water. And that wasn't good enough. And I hope if you're listening, I'm being so simple and so plain, I really don't have to give a commentary on what I'm trying to explain to you right now. Because you've been in that storm. You understand that it's a storm. Maybe now you understand that, hey, this is not just misfortune going on in my life, and this is just not bad luck, and this is just not a bad day or a bad week, but Satan is trying to destroy me. He's trying to detour me, and he's trying to derail me from following God's will for my life. I'm filling up day by day because I have no relief and no break. I've turned to everybody I could turn to. I've done everything that I can do, and I'm still about to drown. Well, this is where the disciples turn to Jesus. And I want you to know what they do. They go to Jesus and they say this. They say, "Master." Mark says it one time. Luke says they said it twice. So Luke must have heard two times. They say, "Master, Master, wake up. Don't you care that we are about to drown?" And this is not the first time. I heard a preacher the other day speaking on the fact that uh, of uh, of Lazarus when he died, of how that Mary and Martha, you know, they were upset because they thought Jesus was doing nothing. They thought he was doing nothing. They said, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Remember, they sent for Jesus when Lazarus was sick. And so that's what the disciples are saying here. They're like, you're not doing anything. Don't you care that we're perishing? But I want you to notice one thing they did when they said, Master, Master. Here's what they did. They said, Master, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Master, Master, don't you care we're in this storm that's about to kill us? It's robbing us of life. Literally those words, Master, that word Master, and when he says it twice, it literally means teacher. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in a ship on the Sea of Galilee, I've been on a boat before that was in a very, very bad storm, a terrible storm, waves crashing up across the bow, coming into the boat, and so much so I didn't think I would make it back in that night. And I got a life jacket on and put that thing on and the whole nine yards, and I was really saying my goodbyes. It got that bad. But if I was in this, the ship with the disciples, the boat was full and it was going under and about to die, I think I would have called on Jesus by many of his other titles first. I think I would have called on him as Lord, because he's Lord of creation and he's Lord of nature and he's Lord over everything. And so I think I would have run and I would have said, Lord, wake up. Because if the Lord woke up, then I'd be safe and I'd be saved. Or we know that he's fully God. I would have called on him as God. But the disciples don't do that. I would have thought that maybe I would run and say, Savior, Savior. Because that's what Jesus does. He saves. He come to seek and save. So I'd have called on him and said, Savior, get up and save me. We're about to perish here. But he doesn't do that. They don't do that. They say, Master, Master. Teacher, Teacher, don't you care that we perish? Why would they say that? Why would that be the title that they call upon him as? Maybe it's because in that moment they've already exhausted all human possibility. They've already exhausted all human effort. They've bailed water. They've set the sail or took the sail down. They turned that ship, that rudder, got that ship into the wind where it was meeting those waves head on. I mean, everything they could possibly do, they have done. And they finally realize this ain't working. We've got to get the Master up. And so in this waking Jesus up, they say, Teacher, Teacher, teach us what you want us to learn while we're going through this storm. Teach us what we need to learn while we're going through this storm. And here's the truth about it. Now, what separates us from them is this. We go through a storm that Satan has caused. We're not really interested in being taught or learning anything. All we really want is when we feel like we're about to drown and our head is going under and we've done everything we can do and there's nothing left but to call on the Lord, we really just want the Lord to be Savior, or we want Him to be Lord, and we want Him just to get us out of this mess we're in because we're about to die. And then the Lord delivers us. We're not interested in a lesson on this. We're not interested in classroom work. All we want to do is to get out of that satanic storm, get out of that burden, get our head back above water, feel like we're actually breathing, living again, and move on with our life. And we miss many great lessons the Lord is trying to teach us. I want you to know something. I said this about being a dad and about our Father in heaven. There are attributes of our Father in heaven that you can never know or never understand unless you've had a child of your own. And once you've had a child of your own, then you start to see a side of God you've never seen before, the way He looks at us as His dear children. But you got to have a child first. You got to have children first. When you've had children, and you've got a heart for your children, and you love your children with the love that you'd lay down your life for them, then you start seeing a side of God that you'd never seen before. And so it is in a storm. when we are going through a storm, listen, there are some lessons in life and there are some attributes of our Father in heaven and our Savior that we will never learn of and will never see unless we go through a storm, specifically one that Satan has brought into our life. And when Satan brings a storm into life, God's willing to teach us some things. And He's willing to teach us who He is, and He's willing to teach us about who we are as His children. And so they ran to the Master and said, "Teach us, teach us. Don't you care that we perish?" So let me ask you this. I don't have to explain this anymore. Let me just ask you one question, and I'm pretty sure I think I know the answer. If you're watching on Liberty Live, you ask yourself this too. So you're in a storm. It's a storm of epic proportions. It's tearing you up. You're being filled up on the inside. I mean, you're about to drown. You're about to go under. You've done everything you possibly know how to do. I mean, you've typed out letters. You've sent postcards. You've left voicemails. I mean, you've done everything you possibly know how to do to keep yourself from drowning, but you can't stop it from happening. So let me ask you this. Have you one time, just once, not a double time as Luke records, but just one, have you one time said, "Lord, You know I'm in a storm. What are You trying to teach me?" Have you once said, "Lord, what am I supposed to learn while I'm going through this storm?" One time, just once. Have you done it once? Well, I would confess that probably that I, in the times I've been in those, I have not. And I think many of us would have to confess the same thing. And many watching on Liberty Live would have to confess the same. We're not interested in sitting in the classroom when we're going through a storm that's about to kill us. But the Lord's got something to teach us through those times. I'm going to come back to one of those lessons here in just a moment. So let me finish out the text, though, because I want to show you. So Jesus is asleep on a pillow. He's tired and weary from ministry. They go wake Him up. When they wake Him up, the Bible says this, "And He arose." And He arose. Now, there's two words in verse number 39, that word rebuked and that word peace that we need to look at. And so these words are very clear about this being a satanic storm. It's not just that pretty picture where Jesus stands on the bow of the ship and He speaks, He rebukes the sea and He says peace and the water calms and all of that. Because it was just a storm of nature. No, that word rebuke and that word peace. Now listen to me. The word, when it says He rebuked, this is the word that Jesus used to rebuke Satan and rebuke demons. So one of the things about a good Bible study and good hermeneutics, which is understanding what the Bible is saying and the words the Bible say, is we look in the Bible and we see how that word is used a majority of the times that it is used. And that word rebuke, Jesus used that very word there when He rebuked demons and in another occasion where He rebuked Satan. And so this specifically is a word that is used to address the satanic world, if you will, Satan and all of his army or his demons. And so the Lord stands up and He rebukes the wind. He deals with Satan and demons and the wind that they have rose up. But then He says, "Peace, be still." Now, watch this. I've told you too that another good thing, a solid way to study the Bible is, look at how many times a word occurs. Okay, that word peace as it is recorded right here, the Greek word as it is recorded right here, it's only used twice in Scripture. So if the Holy Spirit only used one word two times, there must be a significant reason that one word was used only twice. Once is here, the way peace is written in this text here. Once is right here. And the other time it is used, it's used where the Lord is speaking to a demon and He talks about that, He tells that demon to be muzzled or to be gagged. It's a word that is used to muzzle wild animals and wild dogs. Now stay with me. So what I want you to see the Lord doing here is He stands up and He knows this storm has been caused by Satan for several reasons. Number one, keep in mind that from conception in the womb of Mary, the devil tried to kill baby Jesus. I've talked about that. I'll talk about it again at Christmas time. If you don't remember me preaching on that, I'll preach again coming up Christmas about what Mary went through to have baby Jesus. But from the moment of conception, all throughout his 33 and a half years, Satan tried to prematurely kill Jesus before he made his way to the cross to die for my sins and your sins. My last pastorate for 14 years had a cross over the piano right over there. So sometimes when I'm talking about the cross, you see me pointing over here. It's out of habit because they're supposed to be a cross over there somewhere. But anyway, and so from conception to the cross, Satan tried to kill Jesus so he would prematurely die before he finished the work God sent him to do. That's what Satan wants to do with you. He wants to kill you prematurely before you finish the work that God sent you to do. Write that down and mark that down. Listen to me. You are a targeted man and woman if you are a child of God. One time, I don't have time to tell you about it today, but in a very cheap fashion, not Hollywood movie type stuff, but it was a hit taken out on me because I was interrupting a drug trade so bad in our community. I mean, a million or I don't even know how much dollar drug trade. I was interrupting it, and so there was a hit put out on me. But listen, do you understand that when you got saved, Satan put a hit out on you? Man, that ought to sober you up to know. And so you are in the crosshairs. So Satan brought this storm. Maybe it was to kill Jesus. And maybe it was to kill the disciples. Because remember, these 11 disciples, once Judas goes out and hangs himself, these other 11, listen, they carry the gospel to all of the known world of the day. And in 300 years from the time Jesus died, Christianity had spread the globe. And so the enemy knew that the potential that was in these teenage boys in that ship. And maybe he thought, if I can kill Jesus and I kill these 12, then there'll be no hope for the world. And so they were targets. You are targets. But here's what Jesus does. Jesus stands up. He rebukes the wind, that same word he used to rebuke Satan and demons. And then he speaks to the waves and he says, peace. And that's that word, be muzzled. And so there's demons that are hordes and hordes of demons that are surrounding this ship in the Sea of Galilee that's bringing this storm of great magnitude upon the sea. And so, and then the Bible teaches us that there was a great calm. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But now notice in verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? He said they had no faith. Remember, in other places, Jesus basically tells us, if you'll just have a little bit of faith. If you'll just have a little bit of faith. But here, the rebuke to them was, you don't even have any faith. You have no faith at all. Why have you let yourself get hopeless? Why have you let yourself put on despair? Why have you allowed yourself to get despondent or to get depressed? Why have you done all these things? You have no faith at all. And he told us before, all you got to have is just a little bit of faith. Here's why Jesus was saying that. Go back to verse 35. Go back to verse 35. See, before this thing started, here's what Jesus said. Hey, guys, come on. I'm tired. I'm weary. We've been ministering. We got more work to do on the other side of Galilee. There's ministry waiting on us over there. Come on, get in the boat. Let's cross over. Let us go to the other side. Now, friend, I want you to write this down. And don't you ever forget this, particularly where you're at in this storm. When Jesus says to you, come on, we're going to the other side, you can take it to the bank that some way, somehow, he's going to take you to the other side. And so he's rebuking them for having no faith, because if they would have stopped for one moment in the middle of the pitching water, bailing water, setting sails, turning the rudder, steering the ship, panicking, biting their nails, if one time in the middle of all of that, they would have thought back to the words of Christ, to the promise that Jesus had given them, they would have at least had a little faith, which would have been enough, because the Lord's taught us what He would do if we just have faith as a mustard seed, just a little faith. And so listen, a couple of things. Number one, have you asked the Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What am I missing? I'm going to tell you how this worked for me. I taught criminal justice on the college level for, I don't even remember now, 5 or 6 years, I guess. But here's how it worked for me in my classroom. If you failed the test and you didn't get what I was teaching you, guess what happened? You had to take it again. Because I wanted you to learn the material. I didn't care anything about you just being able to spit up what I've poured into you just for a test. I wanted you to really learn and grasp, because what I was teaching was real world stuff that you're going to use one day. And so I want you to learn it, grasp it, get an understanding of it, a knowledge of it, and let it make you a better person in the law enforcement world or in the criminal justice world. And so if you failed the test, what I made you do is you took a test over again. And I wanted you to take it over and over until you finally get what I'm wanting you to learn. And the way it works with the Lord is this too. If we don't learn the lesson He's trying to teach us now, then you can write it down. There'll be another occasion where you're going to have to try to learn it again. I'd rather learn it the first time around, I'll tell you that. Because tests are torturous to me. Torturous to me. So have you asked Him, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? In the midst of my despair and my depression, my despondency, my hopelessness, my helplessness, in the midst of me being frantic and biting my nails, in the midst of my tears, what do you want me to learn? What is it that you want me to learn? And more than likely, one of the things He may do is He may point you back to one of His promises. To one of His promises. He told the disciples, get in because we're about to cross over and go to the other side. And at the very end of the text, guess what they did? They made it to the other side. The Bible says, He that has begun a good work in you will finish it. Listen, God didn't save you to let Satan conquer you. You understand that? God didn't save you to leave you to yourself in your greatest time of need. No, God saved you and began a work in you. And God's intentions is to be with you and to see you through that work until you finish that work that He sent you to do. So you're in a storm of epic proportion. You're in a storm of great, great magnitude. You're in a storm and you feel like that you're not going to make it out. You're in a storm and you'd have to have spiritual eyes now to see that sometimes it has nothing to do with us just being victims of circumstance or society or the world around us, but it's everything to do with that unseen world around us, that this is demonic. You're in a satanic storm. It's been caused by Satan himself to detour you, distract you, derail you, to get you despondent or in despair. But you need to know that there's a master who's always near. You notice all they had to do was go over and say, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? And He awoke and He arose. So ask Him, what am I supposed to learn? And then think back on all the promises that God has ever given you. And listen to me, I'm telling you, listen, by experience, when I have seen situations where there is no hope at all, and I'm telling you from the human mind and the human eyes, there is no hope at all. I've had to take a verse that God has given me and I've had to look to Him and say, God, I'm telling you, this is not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. This is going to turn out bad. There's no hope in this situation. There's no way you can help that. There's nothing that can be done. This is the deal, and it's going to soon be over with. But, Lord, but at your word, I have this verse you've given me, this promise. And so even though I think all is about to be lost, Lord, I'm going to trust in that one word. And I want you to know he has never failed me once. I don't know how believers wander around in life, your average Sunday morning church attenders, church goers. I don't know how they wander around in life and they don't have a promise from God's word that they cling to every day. I really don't. I don't know what they do when the rug's jerked out from under them. I don't know what they do when the plug's been pulled. I don't know what they do when all is lost. I don't know. Because I'm telling you this, you have a promise from God. He's give you a word. You can hold on to that word, my friend, and I promise you this, he'll see you through to the other side. Every time. Every time. I'm glad that that his faithfulness has endured all generations. I am so thankful that his faithfulness has a perfect track record. And so he saved you not to leave you, not to let you drown, but he saved you to see you through this, to teach you some things about himself and about yourself, and to get you to the other side. Leave here tonight knowing this in your satanic storm, that the other side's coming, that you're going to set foot on dry ground one day, and this storm will be behind you. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for those watching on Liberty Live. I pray for those that are here in attendance tonight. I pray, God, that you will just encourage them with a promise from your word. And Father, I pray that you will let Mark 4:35 be the promise to them, because, Lord, you give it to them tonight, right straight from the book here on this Wednesday night. Let that promise that you are taking them to the other side be their anchor in coming days. And let them know that no matter what hell they'll have to walk through, let them know no matter what storms will rage around them and within them, that, Father, you've left them a promise that this is not the end and this won't do them in. But that, Lord, you're going to lift them out, and God, you're going to set them down on the other side, because you began a work in them, and God, you're going to finish that work. And we give you thanks, praise, glory, honor forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody you love them tonight. Let them know you're praying for them. Thank you for joining us on Liberty Live.